This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19 in the morning, I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. We're The Morning Run. In about half an hour, we're going to discuss the difficulties of opening an F&B business in Malaysia. But let's first look at developments coming out of Parliament. Yesterday, Parliament finally passed the Anti-Sexual Harassment Bill through a voice vote that enacts laws to protect both men and women against sexual harassment.
It will now be brought before Dewan Negara and receive the royal assent before being gazetted for enforcement. This new bill mostly notably would establish a tribunal that will hear and determine any complaints of sexual harassment made by any person in a closed-door hearing, and any award ordered by the tribunal is deemed to be a court order and non-compliance could result in a criminal penalty. Now, during the two-day debate, MPs have also called for better awareness and definition on sexual harassment. And we also saw a war of words erupt in Dewan Rakyat after Kulai MP Teo Ni Ching called out several MPs for repeatedly making sexist remarks in the past.
So after 3 decades in the making, does this legislation go far enough to protect all Malaysians against sexual harassment? For reactions to this, we speak to Yu Renchong, Deputy Executive Director at the Women's Aid Organisation. Renchong, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So the bill, the Anti-Sexual Harassment Bill, has finally been passed. What are the notable provisions in this law? And do you think there are any gaps that still need to be addressed?
Yeah, we really wanted to see 3 things in the bill. And one of which is a definition of sexual harassment that is clear and good. So the bill does a decent job of that. I think it defines sexual harassment quite well. The issue that we wanted to see actually was a definition that not only covered direct sort of sexual harassment between one person and another, but also instances where it involves creating hostile environment. So for example, if A sexually harasses, makes a comment to B, you know, that's something that's covered in the law. But for example, if someone, A makes a lewd comment, maybe in a WhatsApp group, in their sort of office WhatsApp group, or in sort of in a physical setting, it's not directed necessarily to anyone. So it's unclear whether situations like that are covered by the bill. So that's the first one, the definition. The second thing that we wanted to see in the bill was some kind of independent mechanism to receive complaints and to basically oversee how this bill and it's being implemented. So what we see in the bill, which I think does quite well, and it's really the main component of the bill, is that it creates a tribunal, anti-sexual harassment tribunal, where anyone can bring their complaints of sexual harassment to, and that tribunal will look into it, and if they find sexual harassment has occurred, they can issue certain kinds of awards. The bill also creates what is called the administrator for anti-sexual harassment, and that is someone, basically the Secretary General of the Ministry of Women, Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development. And so this administrator is basically in charge of things like awareness and creating guidelines and so on. So we think the bill does a pretty decent job at that, sort of creating an independent mechanism component. The third thing we wanted to see, and this is where we really feel the bill falls a bit short, and this is sort of in creating what we call organizational duties. So say, for example, you're a student in a university, and maybe, for example, your lecturer has sexually harassed you. So what the bill allows you to do is bring that case to a tribunal, this anti-sexual harassment tribunal. But what we also would like to have seen is that is for the bill to create some kind of obligation on the university itself to prevent sexual harassment from happening in the first place, and also to respond to cases when they arise. So, for example, the student may want to, instead of going to a tribunal, maybe lodge a complaint internally with the university. So this is where we do not see this provision in the bill. So the bill does not create any obligation on universities, employers, any kind of organization, basically.
Okay. The other thing is that, of course, like you highlighted, the bill creates a special tribunal that's going to be held behind closed doors. Can you explain to us how this works? I mean, what's the process of the tribunal and maybe how can it be best implemented?
So the details, the exact details of the tribunal is something that has to be, the basic setup is defined in the bill, but the exact procedures, those are things that needs to be developed in subsequent rules and guidelines. But the basic idea of this tribunal, and it's sort of similar to, you know, how other tribunals in Malaysia work. So the basic idea of this is for it to be what the government says, mudah, murah, dan cepat. In other words, easy, cheap, and fast. So the idea is, if you have been sexually harassed, you should be able to go to this tribunal and access it in a way that is not so bureaucratic, not super intimidating, number one. Number two is it should be quite cheap. So you would not need to hire a lawyer, for example. Yeah, so the contrast is if you were to go to a sort of the court system, you would generally need to spend a few thousand ringgit in order to get your case going. So the idea here is for the tribunal to be cheap, so you know, maybe free or at a very low cost, maybe 5, 10 ringgit to lodge a complaint. And then the third point idea is for it to be fast. So the point is, this is a specialized tribunal that knows about sexual harassment. The procedures are in place specifically to handle sexual harassment, and therefore it should be quite fast. So instead of say months or even years, you know, that one may have to go through if you make a police report and then, you know, or take the issue to a normal court. The idea is for this to take maybe, you know, a few weeks, for example, or for you to resolve your case.
Okay, so you highlight that the bill does come with some good provisions, but it does fall short of ultimately what activists and civil society would like to see. Do you think that it's better to have an imperfect bill than no bill at all? Should maybe Parliament have held out for a stronger, more effective bill? Or is this the way, you know, we'll work with what we have?
Yeah, I think that, you know, NGOs and, you know, we kind of worked, we tried to work with the government to sort of improve the bill as much as possible before it was passed. So we worked quite closely with the Ministry of Women, as well as members of Parliament, on you know, to see how what we can do before we actually pass the bill. And so what we came up with and what the government sort of agreed to do, you know, basically is they did amend the definition slightly to make it a bit a better. And they've also committed, so the government has, and this is something the minister committed to in her speech yesterday in the Day One Rakyat. I think three things of note. First is basically to ensure that organizational obligations or at least guidelines are created in the bill's regulations. So the bill would also come with certain guidelines and regulations to ensure that it's implemented quite well. So to ensure that organizations like companies, universities and so on take necessary steps in order to prevent sexual harassment in their locations. But these things are guidelines and, you know, they may not be binding. Mm. So that's a bit of a drawback. The second thing the minister committed to was creating an implementation plan. And she said that there was actually a draft implementation plan already. So that's something that we would like to see as well. And then the third thing that the minister committed to, which I think is quite significant, is to form a monitoring committee consisting of course, government, as well as NGOs and academics. And so this monitoring committee would basically look out for the enforcement of the bill, mm-hmm. Ensure that it's enforced as it's intended to, as well as see how, you know, after it's been implemented, what are the shortfalls and how we can sort of improve it in the future. So we need all that we wanted to, but we do appreciate the effort that was put in by, you know, the government itself, sure, and as well as the as a lot of members of parliament who participated quite actively in the debate to try and improve the bill.
Ren Cheong, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Yu Ren Cheong, Deputy Executive Director at the Women's Aid Organisation, giving us his reactions to the passing of the Anti-Sexual Harassment Bill in the Dewan Rakyat yesterday.
Yeah, so there are gaps within the bill, one of which is, what is the definition of sexual harassment? My other question is the enforcement of it, right? And does it protect the victim or the complainant when she or he wants to make a complaint? What is the process like? I think, and also just the mood, the sound, the tone of the tribunal is also very important. Although we do know the process, and yes, it's better because it's cheaper, faster and quicker, all that makes a difference. But implementation is always going to be key, I think. But I'm glad that there is some bipartisan approach to get this bill passed, actually.
Yes, so it is a good first step. It's not a perfect bill, it's not a perfect law, but it's definitely something that can be worked on. And it really, we really need to monitor how it's implemented in the future to ensure that it's actually effective. 7:29 in the morning, we're heading into the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. After that, we'll discuss which emerging market economies are at risk of falling into crisis. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.